If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Joshua. I would like to read from Joshua chapter 3. I would like to read the first five verses. Joshua chapter 3. Now, you'll remember that Moses had already led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and had led them to the borders of Canaan 40 years before this. The children of Israel would not go into the land of Canaan, even though God had said that he had given them the land. They were afraid to go in because there were giants in the land. They knew that they would face a lot of obstacles. They knew that they would face a lot of troubles, a lot of afflictions, and a lot of battles. And so they just didn't go into the land of Canaan. They were afraid of the giants that were in the land. They were afraid that they would be killed. They were afraid that they would die if they obeyed God. So they disobeyed God, and they died. They perished in the wilderness. And God's people cannot disobey God, walk in willful disobedience, and expect, well, you might expect blessings, but I want you to know we will experience a lot of trouble in our lives when we disobey God. So the children of Israel have already now, all of those that were 20 years of age and older at the time the law was given, they're all dead. And now Joshua is going to take up the mantle of Moses, and he's going to lead the children of Israel. God chose Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. So they're going to cross the Jordan River now and go into the land of Canaan. And I want you to think about, if you had been that generation, you remember what happened to the previous generation. You remember how afraid they were. Well, things have not changed in the land of Canaan. It's still a land of giants. It's still a land of great walled cities. So this next generation is facing the same tremendous obstacle that the previous generation had faced, but they're beginning to go in now. Reading now from Joshua chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." In other words, the priests were going to be carrying the ark of the covenant, and they were supposed to follow the Ark of the Covenant and the priests as they led them through the Jordan River. Verse 4 says, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it," that is to the Ark of the Covenant, "that ye may know the way by which ye must go." Now they're to follow the Ark of the Covenant. He says, if you get too close to the Ark of the Covenant, you can't see which way to go. You back up and you follow the Ark of the Covenant. You stay about 2,000 cubits away so that this vast multitude of people would know exactly which way the Ark of the Covenant went, and they would all to follow the Ark of the Covenant and the priest. Now the Ark of the Covenant, one of the main things it had in it was what? The Ten Commandments. That was one of the main things. So I think that the Ark of the Covenant represents the Word of God and how we as God's people in our lives, that we need to follow the Word of God. We need to always adhere to the Word of God, and the Word of God will lead us into the kingdom of heaven just like it led the children of Israel through all that they had to go through into the land of Canaan. And then he says in the last part of verse 4, let me reread verse 4 in its entirety, "Yet there should be a space between you and it, between you and the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." That's the main thought that's on my heart, where he says, ye have not passed this way heretofore. They were about to go down a path that they had never been down before. They were about to experience things. They were about to experience all kinds of trials and tribulations and problems that they had never experienced before. But they were also about to experience the great powers and miracles like they had never seen. They were going to see God tear down the walls of Jericho. They were one after another. They were going to see God give them great victories in the land of Canaan. So though they had a lot of trouble to face, they also had a lot of blessings that went along with all of that trouble. They had to walk by faith. They had to trust in the Lord. He leadeth me was the song that we sang. He leadeth me. And that's what the children of Israel could have sang that song. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Brethren, God was the one that led the children of Israel right on into the land of Canaan. And then one of the statements that Joshua made is, ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now, I think that's probably the main reason in Joshua chapter 1, the fact that they had never experienced what they were about to experience. Never experienced as great a trouble, and yet never experienced as great a blessings. He says in Joshua chapter 1, repeatedly God kept telling Joshua, be strong and of good courage. You go home and read Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and you'll see at least three times that God told Joshua as he was leading the children of Israel, he says, now you be strong and of good courage. Do you know why? Because they were about to go where they had never been before. They were about to face things they had never faced before, and they were going to need to be strong. And Joshua, as their leader, he needed to show himself strong, and he needed to show the great courage that a leader must show to the people of Israel that were following him. Now, there are a lot of things on my heart tonight about ye have not passed this way heretofore. But one of the things that is very clear to me is that in the United States of America today, we have never been where we are right now. I've been thinking in the past week or two about the great wisdom that God gave our founding fathers. To write the Constitution that we have, to come up with the three branches of government that they came up with. Isn't it amazing? All the wisdom that God gave them in the founding of our nation. And he set up, I'm saying God set up because God was guiding them in all that they were doing. But they set up checks and balances, so you have these three forms or three branches of government. You have the legislative and the judicial, and you have the executive branches of government. But neither one of those has all power. Each of them are to have checks and balances on the other. So if the executive branch begins to exert power or lead contrary to the Constitution, the other two branches are to rise up and correct that problem. Or if the judicial branch begins to lead contrary to what our nation has always stood for, then the other two branches were to rise up and oppose that and insist that we adhere to the Constitution and that we continue to follow the God who gave us this great nation. All of that was set forth in the founding of our nation. We have never experienced, and I'm not very old. Our nation has been here for over 200 years, but in the past 200 years, there's never been a time in the history of the United States of America that there haven't been checks and balances going on in the government. And today, you might say, well, you know, the judicial branch, they're just ruling us, and they are. One of the main problems is the other branches are not doing anything about it. And one of the big problems we have is that the executive branch and the judicial branch, they're as ungodly as they can be. And so the legislative branch now is following right in their footsteps. And we have no righteous rulers over us today. And when I say that, I say it with a grain of salt because I know there are a few godly people up there. I'm saying by and large, the vast majority of all three branches of government now are full of ungodly people. And we have never passed this way heretofore. However, I would say to you the same thing that God said to Joshua and the same thing that God said to his people here is even though you have never passed this way heretofore, I would say to you to be strong and of good courage. And I would say that you ought not to worry because God will always take care of his people. And so I want to encourage everybody here that even though we can clearly see the handwriting on the wall about the future of America as a nation, we can see that we have turned our backs on God And the Word of God says that all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. We all understand what God has said in His Word. We know God does not lie. But we also know that in every age and generation, when God has brought His judgment on a people, He has always had a remnant that He would take care of and bless in the midst of all of those trials and afflictions and tribulations. And so I say to you tonight, if you'll follow Jesus, if you'll follow Jesus, Jesus will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. And you will know exactly what you need to do. And what you always need to do is remember that we ought to obey God rather than men. You must always remember that we have one God that we're going to serve, and we're not going to serve the other gods of this world, and we're not going to bow down to the governments of this world. We're going to follow the one true and living God. Ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now, our nation has faced many problems and many troubles, even from the first time that the settlers came here and began to establish colonies. Our nation has always experienced a lot of trouble. But we've never experienced anything like what we're facing today. And so the main thought I have is, ye have not passed this way heretofore. But I also say, be strong and of good courage. I also say to you, fear not, because our God is still on His throne. I would say to you that you better not trust in the government. You better not bow down to the government. You better follow God and trust in the Lord. And when you do that, God's going to take care of you. In Joshua chapter 3, I want you to notice what happened later in Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. The Word of God says, and the priest, that, now what's He already told them to do in the first part of the chapter? He says, now you follow the Ark of the Covenant, and the priest, you follow them, and they'll lead you right through the Jordan River, and they'll lead you into the land of Canaan. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 17, the Word of God says, and the priest that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. You remember what happened when they began to walk down in that Jordan River? When the soles of their feet touched that water, the water began to back up. That's an amazing miracle that God did. Ye have not passed this way heretofore. But God is able to perform miracles and stop all kinds of things and do things contrary to nature just to protect His special people. And so He just told those priests to walk in, and the water began to back up. And then those priests stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And the Scripture tells us in this chapter that the Jordan was overflowing her banks. It wasn't a low river right now. The Jordan was overflowing her banks, and yet the children of Israel marched through the Jordan River on dry ground. That's impossible, except God is performing miracles. And I want you to know that ye have not passed this way heretofore, but I want you to know that God, who is the God of all governments and the God of all heaven and earth, our God is still in control. And so I would say, fear not. And so they passed through on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. The Scripture says, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now, I want you to understand that this is not the only time that God would say to His people, you've never passed this way before. In other words, all through the history of the Scriptures, God repeatedly has told His people in different generations, He said, now you have never experienced what you're about to experience. You've never been here before, but I'm still going to be with you. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Remember what happened here in Joshua chapter 3, but now look in Isaiah chapter 42. Look, please, at verse 16, at how God is saying very similar words. Why is God telling His people, you have not passed this way heretofore? He's saying you're about to go down a path you've never been down, and you don't know how to go, and you don't know what to do, but I'll be with you, and don't worry. Don't worry. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16, God says, now, you know what we feel like when we are facing something like the children of Israel facing going into the land of Canaan? You know what we feel like? We're blind. Are you going in blindly? Were the children of Israel going in blindly, in a sense? Were they going in blindly? They didn't know what all was ahead. All they knew was that God would be with them. And so the scripture talks about how blind we are. We don't know what to do other than look to God. So he says in Isaiah 42:16 says, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not." You see the wording there? "I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known." Do you believe God can lead you in paths that you have never known before? Do you believe that we're facing paths that we've never faced before? Don't worry. Yes. And so he says, "I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." Then in 43, Isaiah 43:2, he says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Why? Because the Lord our God was going to protect them. God was going to be with them. Does God in the book of Isaiah make it plain? You're about to go down paths you've never been down before. Did he say the basically same thing in the book of Joshua? Yes. And these are separated by hundreds of years. I just want you to know that God has always been leading his people down paths that they've never been down before. So don't think that we're about to face something that has never been faced before. Our founding fathers, when they began to set up everything they set up in the United States, they walked down paths they had never been down before. You come all the way through the history of the United States of America, every generation has had to walk down paths that they never walked down before. When you look at the American Revolution, when you look at World War I, you look at World War II, you look at the Vietnam War, all of those were paths that we had never been down before. And now we're about to go down another path that we've never been down before in our generation and the generation of our children. But we need to know that God is still on his throne. And God says, "Now don't worry, I'm going to be with you. When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. They will not overflow you. When you pass through the fire, the flame will not kindle upon you." Do you believe God will do that for you? Do you believe God has the power? Can he do the same thing for you and me that he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Can he do the same thing for us that he did for Noah when he destroyed the earth with a flood? Can he do the same thing for you and your family if you're following the Lord? You've never passed this way heretofore. You're about to see things you've never seen before in your lifetime. You may be shocked at what you see, but you will see the Lord if you'll lift up your eyes unto the hills, and you'll see the Lord as your deliverer, and you'll see the Lord as your strength. You'll see the Lord will take care of you. God called Abraham. Do you remember what God said to Abraham? I want you to just listen. You don't have to turn there because we're going to come right back to the Old Testament. But in Hebrews chapter 11, listen. "By faith, Abraham," you know what it took for Joshua? I know he said, "Be strong and of good courage." But what did it take? It took faith for Joshua to do that. It took trust in the Lord. Some of you that were here 20, 30 years ago, remember that God gave me a definition of the word trust. T-R-U-S-T. Trust. It's total rest under sovereignty thinking. In other words, when you can be completely calm in your soul because you are totally resting under the belief that God is sovereign in all that he does, and you're thinking about the sovereignty of God and the power of God, you have peace in your soul. Trust. Trust in the Lord. That's the... If I could just close with one thing, I'm not fixing to close, but if I were, I'm going to say it now because I'm afraid I'll forget it. I want you to remember this. I want you to remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? And he shall direct thy what? Paths. You know what we're fixing to walk down? We're fixing to walk down paths we've never been down before. But what will God do? He'll take you. Though you're blind and you're weak and you're frail, God will lead you right down the right path. When Jesus says this in Matthew 16, and we're fixing to go right back. I want you to notice some other scriptures in the book of Psalms. But in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." And what are the last two words there? "And follow me." Brethren, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to go down paths you've never been down before. Jesus' entire life was walking down paths he had never been down before. And so if you're going to follow Jesus in this life, today you're going to walk down paths you've never been down before, and next week and next month, and as long as you live on this earth, you will be walking down paths you've never walked down before, because as you follow Jesus, he's going to lead you in paths that you've never realized that you would be able to walk down those paths before. His grace is sufficient. You can walk down those paths. You can inhabit Canaan land. You can obey God when he says, now follow me, follow me, follow me. Trust in me. Now, let's go back to the book of Psalms very quickly in closing. Go back to Psalm. I first want to look at Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Now remember, whenever we're talking about going down all these paths, and the scripture says in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4, ye have not passed this way heretofore. You're going to have to, and I'm going to have to, pass down paths that we've never been down before. Before I die, now I've been down a lot of paths, and you've been down a lot of paths in your lifetime. But you're going to have to go down some more paths that you've never been down before. And if you don't have confidence in God, if you're not strong and of good courage, you won't follow God down those paths. You're going to run and go the other way, just like the children of Israel did when Moses was leading them. But you better follow like Joshua did. You better follow right on into the land of Canaan, trusting in the Lord. Do what's right. Follow God's word. Thy word, David says in Psalm 119, or the psalmist says in 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And a light unto my what? Path. What are we talking about? Talking about going down paths we've never been down before. How are you going to walk down those paths? God's word will direct you right down the right path all the way. Now, Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11, the word of God says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Isn't that beautiful? God's going to show you the path of life. Now, is it going to be hard to walk down that path of life? Indeed it is. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He's talking about the path of life. And the path of life is a straight and a narrow way. But it leads unto life. And then there's a broad way, and many there be that go in thereat, and few walk that straight and narrow way. Few walk that path of life. Few are willing to do what God told the children of Israel back there in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4. Few are willing to follow God's way. God's way, brethren, is going to always be contrary to your way and my way. His ways are higher than our ways, than the heavens are above the earth. His ways are perfect. His ways are right. He has wisdom. He has perfect wisdom. And sometimes you're going to have to do what God says, and you're not going to understand why it has to be that way. Just do what God's word says. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Do you have that confidence tonight? Do you have the confidence that you can say and write down, God, you are going to show me the path of life? That's what God's doing tonight, brethren. He's showing us the path of life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Did you know that's all you have to be full of joy? Is just to be in the presence of the Lord. It's not gold and silver. It's not anything else in this world. The only way you're going to be full of joy is if you're in the presence of the Lord. And I'm not talking about dying and going to be in his presence. I'm talking about being in his presence right now. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And the only way you're going to be in his presence is if you walk down that path of life. And then he says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, let's close by turning to Psalm 23, about four pages past where we're looking. Psalm 23, the Lord is my what? You know what a shepherd does? Among other things, and he does a lot of different things, but one of the main things our shepherd does is he leads. The Lord is my shepherd. Was the Lord the shepherd of Joshua and the children of Israel back there when they began to cross that Jordan River? Was he their shepherd when they went into the land of Canaan? The Lord was their shepherd. Was the Lord the shepherd of John the Baptist when he began to preach the word of God? Was the Lord his shepherd when he went before that king and told Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Was the Lord his shepherd? Did God lead him down that path? When Paul went through all that he went through, and you read about his sufferings, they were horrible. But you read about his blessings, they were wonderful. And Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's going to come, but God will be with you. The Lord is my shepherd. I like that. I heard a little girl on YouTube one day and said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I don't think we ought to alter the word of God. It's not what I'm saying. But she said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. That doesn't contradict. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If I've got the Lord as my shepherd and I'm following the shepherd, he's going to lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Is he going to lead us in the path of life? Absolutely. Is he going to make crooked things straight? Yes. Is he going to make darkness light? Yes. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Is that a dangerous, fearful, frightening thing to walk through the valley of the shadow of death? He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then I just don't know how anybody can make it in this world without our shepherd, without the Lord. And I don't know how I can ever draw back when I have such a wonderful Savior and a wonderful shepherd. I've got somebody that's leading me and guiding me and upholding me. And so I want to say to all of you tonight that even though you've never passed down the path we're fixing to go down, I would say to you, be strong and of good courage, because God is still on his throne. And if you'll follow the Lord and be faithful to God, God will take care of you. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.